Good morning to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A special welcome to those who are listening to us online this morning. I believe that for us to be here today, for us to be listening, it's a day of liberty, and I believe that God himself will set us free from whatever that has put us in bind in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I will be talking to you about the freedom of association. Come on, say that with me. Freedom of association. Now, in order not to waste too much time, I kind of written most of it down, so I'll read to you, but I'm flowing along with you, so just flow with me also, okay? Now, when we talk about freedom of association, it encompasses both the individual's right, a person's right to join or leave voluntarily a group, and at the same time, for the group to take a collective action in pursuit of the interest of its members. So when we talk about freedom of association, for you as an individual, you can choose to join or leave a group, and at the same time, that group can collectively pursue the interest of every member of that group. This morning, the question we want to ask ourselves is that which association are you aligned with? And in having an understanding of the association, the choice that you have made, you need to remember this. Every one of us is free to make and decide to join any association that we want. Nobody is under any compulsion to join, but you are not free from the consequences of your choices. Now, on Wednesday, we started talking about beliefs and truths. And in having an understanding of what we mean by beliefs and truth will determine the type of association that you will belong to. When we talk about truth, truths are undeniable and they are universal. Truths have been proven to be true. And we do not need to validate what is already proven to be true. For instance, the earth is round. We don't need to want to prove if it is round or not. People have been able to go to space and take the picture of the earth. So we know that the earth is round. We don't need to prove anything any longer. We equally know that gravity is here upon the face of the earth. Are we together on that? Now, in case you don't know what they call gravity, I want to test it out. Just go to somewhere that is high and try and jump. By the time you get down, you'll know what gravity means. Are we together on that? In simple English, whatever goes up here on earth is bound to come back down. So we know that as a truth. Now, whether you believe in it or you don't believe in it, it does not change the value of that truth. Now, beliefs, on the other hand, are selective, they are personal, and they can change. You see, everything we tell ourselves about ourselves, or better still, everything you tell yourself about yourself, others, and your environment comes from the place of your beliefs. If you see the world as a complex, violent, evil place, it comes from the place of your own belief. If you believe that you're not good enough to do something, if you believe that the environment you are is not conducive enough for you, it is your own personal belief, and it's also your own personal truth. Now, that is true to you doesn't make it the truth, but you believe that that is what it is. So it becomes your own personal truth, but it's not necessarily the universal truth. That you believe that when you jump from the roof of a house, that God would send his angels to capture you, lest you break a bone, and you decide to go on top of this roof and jump down. You can test it out, and we'll see if it is true or not. But it's your own personal belief, but I guarantee you, pull that stunt. You'll have a broken belief that leads to truth, that gravity is for real. You see, that you believe that you can do anything you set your mind to do is simply what it is. You believe it, and that is all. Now, your beliefs, whether good or bad, are pretty selective. Now, in the whole concept of beliefs, there are some dangers to some certain beliefs. Now, remember this. When you have a belief, it has not been proven to be true, but you just say, I believe that this can be. But when you have tested it and you know it's true, it becomes true to you. Whether it's your own personal belief or the truth, it doesn't matter. Now, beliefs have some certain dangers. And there are three of them I want to highlight very quickly. The first danger of belief is beliefs masquerade as truth. Say that with me. Beliefs masquerade as truth. Now, you see, once a belief is certain, it becomes a personal truth to you. And you view the world, other people, and yourself based on those sets of beliefs within you. You see, in any society, acceptable customs and traditions all turn to become the belief as time goes on. You see, the people in that society follow a set of what I call customs or belief that has been set out by a group of people in the past. Now, what does this mean? That your ancestors say, this is how we do it in this tribe, and it becomes a tradition. It becomes a way of life. And from that moment up till now, you're still doing what they used to do then. And you believe it's our custom, without even realizing that when they set those rules, there were things happening around there. That's why they set those rules. And you still believe in those things without validating why. It has become a personal truth to you. And when the belief masquerades itself as the truth, there is danger in that. Now, we know this. Every society has its own definition of success, of beauty, of happiness, of status. Acceptable ways of behaving and interacting with one another. All of these things are what we call societal beliefs or societal truth. I remember in Jamaica, I had a very good friend who we call a Pan-Africanist. His own belief was like, when you are greeting an elderly person, you prostrate. But for us who were Nigerians with him, we understood that and it was easy for us to relate. But for the Jamaicans, he's always offended when they come to him and stretch out their hands to shake him and say, no, you can't shake my hand, you must prostrate. And they was like, what are you talking about? Because they don't understand what he's talking about. His own belief was in contrast to their own belief. So societal belief has a danger of keeping you stuck from the reality of the truth that is present. Now, this belief that masquerades itself is actually the origin of religious beliefs and biases. This should not be mistaken with spiritual truth. Religious bias and belief is based on a set of dogma or beliefs of a group of people based on somebody's experience, and we say it must be the truth. It does not follow. But that is not the focus for this moment. Second, after the belief masquerades itself as truth, is that beliefs require constant validation. Now, what do I mean by beliefs requiring constant validation? When you believe something, you look for a proof that what you believe in is true. Your mind is always working in a way to help you prove that what you believe to be true. And guess what? You'll always find what you're looking for. If you believe you're not good enough, you constantly be looking for ways to prove that you're not good enough. If you believe that what you've been asked to do, you cannot do it, you will constantly speak and look for a reason to say, I cannot do it. I know that I cannot do it. I told you that God has not wired me like that. You will always look for a reason not to do it. And guess what? Because you believe you cannot do it, what will happen? You will not do it. The danger in constant validation is this, that the moment you have a belief and you find somebody who is opposing what you believe, saying, don't tell me you cannot do it, you can do it, you feel threatened. And in that threat, you believe that the person that is coming against what you believe is attacking you, and then you bring up a big wall saying, this would not happen. Thirdly, beliefs create a fixed way of what is and what should be. When you have a set of beliefs, all you want to see is what you believe is and how things are meant to be. It's either my way or the highway. The danger in this is that when you have a fixed belief, you miss out on the essence of what is in front of you. For the gentleman who believed that if you are speaking to an elderly person, you must prostrate, misses out on the fact that the person you are talking to actually is showing his own method of love. I remember one of the most popular men, which I respect quite a bit, Pope John Paul II. Anybody remember that guy? Pope John Paul II. I saw him on TV once in New Zealand. The natives of the land came and they were dancing with bones in their nose, doing all their hoo-ah, hoo-ah. And the Pope was, you know, dancing along with them. To cut long story short, all of those people got communion that day. Hello? For us, they're idolatry. They're this, they're that. But the Pope was boogieing down with them, said, don't worry, at the end of this dance, they're all going to become Catholics. Keep dancing. He danced with them, and at the end of the day, all of them, they boned their nose, took communion that day. Now, what am I saying here? He did not allow his own personal belief that those are idolaters, I should not deal with them, stop him from going forward to make sure that even in your dance, it's okay. Paul did the same, said, to that unknown God, let me talk about him for you. When your belief becomes a hindrance, the danger in there is that you believe this is the only way it should be. Do you know that when Jesus was around, the same thing was going on? The people had the belief that, hey, you should not carry a mat on Sabbath day. And they saw a man who has been 38 years in trouble carrying the mat. And the first thing they said, you are breaking the law of God. Why are you carrying your mat? Nobody thought about that. This guy's just been healed, though. No. But that's what belief does to you. Moving on. Is it possible for us to live a life without beliefs? The answer, I don't know. But one thing is certain, I'm sure that the more you become aware of what the truth is, the better is it for you to upgrade your belief system. You see, once we increase our awareness, we can stop following beliefs blindly and do things differently. Vengeance saith the Lord is mine does not mean that God will revenge the way you want him to revenge. That is a God of judgment does not mean he will condemn the way you want to condemn. how do we walk away from some beliefs that are fixed, that are always wanting validation, that are a danger to ourselves? There are three things I just want to highlight to you. The first thing in awakening to the truth as it is, that this is true, I don't need to believe in it, it is what it is. You need to stop believing everything. Everybody say that with me. Stop believing everything. One more time. Now, that might seem controversial. Why you ask me to stop believing everything? That is so wrong. But this is the thing. When we say stop believing everything, what we mean, or what I mean is, whenever you have an opinion of yourself, somebody else, or a situation, that this is what it's meant to be, this is what it should be, stop for a moment. Before it becomes a full belief system. And think about the situation and ask yourself, what am I thinking? Is it really true? That in my family, we don't eat okra. Does it mean if I eat okra, I'm going to go and meet my forefathers? Perhaps the patriarch or the matriarch of your family, on the day he ate okra, it choked him to death. And because of that, said, okay, in this family, no more okra. And you're missing out on the benefits of okra. I hope I'm making sense to you here. Customs and tradition. I've told you a story about three generations of women. The last generation saw the mom cutting meat into two, right? And putting it into the oven to cook. In our minds, you just thought, oh, well, maybe mommy wants the meat to cook faster. And ask the mom, is that why? Mom said, no, that's not why I cut into two. That's how grandma used to do it. And then when I went to grandma and said, grandma, is it not true that you cut the meat into two so that it can cook evenly? You know what grandma said? The meat cannot fit in to the pot. So I need to cut into two before I cook it. Meanwhile, two generations now we're thinking something different. So the tradition was like, always cut the meat into two before you cook. So that tradition stuck without even knowing why. And many of us are in the tradition today without even realizing, asking the question, but why? We are afraid to move away from that belief. You need to stop believing everything. You need to be able to question things. That's the second thing that we need to do. Question and challenge your beliefs. You see, when a belief takes hold of you and they go on questions, trouble will start. But we don't want that to go on. You see that I walk past you. If you believe I'm an arrogant person, which is your own belief, not my own belief of myself, and I walk past you, and I don't say good morning to you. I say good morning. Hey, good morning. I keep walking. And you believe in your heart already I'm arrogant. Of course, you say, didn't I tell you I was arrogant? See, you can't even greet us just because he's a pastor. If he wasn't a pastor, would I be talking to this one? Meanwhile, maybe what happened to me was simply I wanted to sneak in breakfast, and my wife said no breakfast, and I was pissed with her for not letting me eat breakfast. And that's what I was thinking about. Or probably I'm coming from work and someone just upset me. I'm trying to reset my mind. God, I'm in church today. I don't think about this. And you say something, you have a belief that something is wrong with me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody here ever experienced that somebody is talking to you and you don't hear what they're saying, neither do you see them? And when you're going to hear about it later, who does he think he is? And I said, I can't remember. I said, what do you mean don't remember? I don't remember. And that's the truth. The person does not remember. But this is the problem where you don't question what you're thinking. You see, one of the biggest danger that we have about belief and knowing the truth is that too many of us cannot embrace the fact that we do not know. What did I say? We cannot embrace the fact that we do not know. What is wrong in saying, I don't know? There's nothing wrong in saying, I don't know. Too many people are trying to wing it. Oh, I know this is what the Lord has said. When? To who? Where? I know you don't know. You know, some of us may have experienced this. You don't know the way. And you ask somebody, how do I get there? I say, don't worry, if you go this way, go that way, you get there. Then ask somebody, if you go that way, you get there. Meanwhile, nobody really knows, but they are tossing you up and down. You see, the problem with having a belief that is not the truth is that you do not want to suffer the embarrassment of saying, I do not know. There's nothing wrong in saying, I do not know. You come to me and say, you are the pastor, you should have a solution. I say, I don't know. Say, don't have anointing. Thank you. At least I'm not going to lie to you, I know when I don't know. Because some guy there is a prophet. I say, as you were talking to me, the Lord showed me a big snake dancing around your head. You have to kill that snake. You have to start for 7 days and seven nights. I say, that guy is Jim Jim. And he comes and I say, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. Because you have a belief system that this is how it's meant to be and doesn't work out that way. You see, what am I talking about in all of this? We read a scripture. But I turned and read a scripture about the children of Israel. Their belief system made them not enter into the place of promise. And listen carefully to this. We all are familiar with that story. For 430 years, they were in the place of bondage. They cried out unto God, and God had their cry, and sent a man, Moses, to them to lead them out of Egypt, the place of bondage. On their journey, they came to the Red Sea. And they could not cross. They looked behind them. Everything that was in their past was coming after them. And the people cried out unto God. And God said, go forward. The sea parted for them. They walked through the sea. And everything of their past was drowned upon inside that sea. By the way, for somebody here, because you prayed this morning and said, Lord, the hurt and the pain, let it go. I say to you, everything that has caused a hurt, everything that has caused a bruising and a pain for you in the past, this morning, it shall be drowned in the sea of forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen. This pain, this bruise that you feel, that you see, today you shall see no more in the name of Jesus. Amen. This people, on their journey onwards, when they were thirsty, God provided water. When they were hungry, manna came from heaven. When they felt that we cannot eat in bread alone, we need some chicken, fried chicken, not baked. God sent them quail. They had everything going on for them. In the day, they had the pillar of cloud to shield them from the heat of the elements. At night, they had the pillar of fire to warm them from the elements. So they were on their journey, and God was with them at all points, and everything was kosher. Finally, they got to the border of the promise of God for them, saying that I will take you away from bondage into a land flowing with milk and honey. They sent out leaders. Everybody say leaders. They sent out leaders from every tribe to go and spy the land. And for 40 days, they spied the land. And when they came back, the Bible said, they said, indeed, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But nevertheless, they began to speak about everything that was wrong in that place. Oh, there are giants in that place. Yes, there are walled cities. It's a land that swallows up its people. They began to speak of everything wrong with that place. Now, how did they know all these things? Why did they go into details? Because their belief system is oppression. Where they were coming from, they were oppressed. So seeing people that were giants, seeing those walls, they began to be afraid again. I said, we cannot do it. And the more they cried out, 10 of them began to cry out. 2 of them said, we can do it now. Let us go. They said, no, we cannot do it. Look at verse 33. Can you bring it up, please? Numbers 14, 33. This is what a belief does to you when you don't know the truth. The truth was that God wanted them to inherit the land. But look at the last part of it. And no, not 23. I said 33. He said, we saw giants, the son of Achan, and they come out of giants. I said, we are in our own sights. What? And so we are where? They themselves saw themselves as grasshoppers. They believed they were grasshoppers. By the way, grasshoppers are pests. Grasshoppers go into the harvest and destroy everything and move on. So in their mentality, they've been slaves for so long that now they are at the edge of entering into the promises of God for them. And they say, oh, we are like grasshoppers. And so we are in their own sight. We cannot go in there and possess our possession. These were people that were used to praying to God and say, God, we need food. Food came. God, we need water. Water came. God, we are cold. Fire. God, we are hot. Cloud. So everything they ask of God, God has been doing it for them. The moment that God gave, but now it was time for them to arise and possess their possession. But their belief system is so anchored in saying, I know God will make a way for me. Hey, he has made a way for you. Go forward. I know that God will, I believe that God will do it. I'm believing God for something. God is saying, yeah, this is what you believe in getting. But when they went in there to spy, they suddenly realized that, that place is hard though. The elders, based on their belief system, they made the whole congregation of the people begin to fear. Because they had seen the place, and based on their own assessment, they came back and told those who have not seen, Augusta is not good enough for you. There are no good men in that church. There are no good women in that church. In that church, they do not pray. In that church, there is no anointing in the place. Because of their own belief system, they forget that where they are right now, God wants you to get out and get your nose bloodied and your hand bruised in fighting for what belongs to you. They were too busy analyzing and focused on what was wrong in the land, but they missed out on an opportunity to know that though they may go through the valley of shadow of darkness, but God intends to be with them. They missed out on the fact that God wants them to go in there against the giants, against the walled cities, that he may prove to them that if you know your God, you will be strong and do exploits. They were so used to the way it was in the beginning that before they prayed, they got it. I'm about to say that in the past, you drank milk. In the past, you got everything, but now it's time for you to begin to possess your possession. Parents in the house, question for you. When your child is between age 1 day and a year old and he cries out, do you spank him or her? You look for what is wrong. Let's feed him. Let's check the diaper. Maybe something is wrong and the rest. When your kid reaches 6 years old and starts crying, what do you say? What is wrong? No, not shut your mouth. You're too heavy. What is wrong with you? Now, what do you say next? Use your words. Use your words. And then, if the words are not coming, there'll be laying of hands. Just to get the words out. Now, when your kid is like my son, 14 years old, and he's behaving like a 1 year old, what does he get? Fire will fall. And it won't be Holy Ghost fire. Now, what am I saying here? Many of us behave like babes in the Lord, wanting God to give everything to you. When my child was young, a year, 2 years, 3 years old, I read bedtime stories to them and they enjoyed it. If you ask me to read bedtime stories to you right now, something's wrong with both of us. Am I making any sense to you? But do you know that how we behave? Our belief systems that God will make a way. God will provide for me. And God said, yeah, I provided for you. Will you go forward and do what you have to do? The truth is that God has called you to the place of prominence. In blessing you, you will face challenges that will make you strong again. Too many people, because they refuse to enter in. You know what happened to the children of Israel? They began to wander around in the wilderness. Now, by the way, when they were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, did they lack any good thing? Did they have water? Yes. How about food? Yes. How about cloud? Yes. How about fire? How many enemies did they fight? None. So then, people on the move. When people saw them moving, God's own people. They had no wahala. The only times that they fought, you know how they fought? They fought with themselves. Who made you a leader over us? What do you know? All right, kill some. In fact, we don't want this squirrel anymore. We want something else. Oh, really? All right, snakes amongst them. Boom. This is the problem with those who have believed that are clogged up. Even though they're walking around and God is blessing them, they're missing out on the promises of God for them. They say, no, I know this is what God will do. Yes, you don't need to pray for manna or water. It will come by itself. And you're wasting your time praying for that. People who are stuck on their belief system will eventually become spiritual vagabonds. What will they become? One more time. If you don't know what that means you'll be wandering from one place to the other, never being satisfied. When challenges come to you, let's go to the room, they pray there. And then you come to Redemption Chapel. The guy is speaking too much grammar. I beg, this one's doing how to pray. Then you go to another minister, I say, fire! Kill them. Kill them. Actually, I had this one about a week ago. Someone was praying and was saying, Father, all my enemies, let them die, 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 die. I said, Shelley, what happened? Holy Ghost, fire, follow my enemy. I said, what kind of prayer is that? Now, I don't care what you feel. I don't waste my prayer powers on killing people. I use my prayer powers to be strong and mighty in the Lord. Why should I waste my time saying kill them? Which God will kill other people on your behalf? I don't know about you, but my God is a God of love. He wants everyone to live and to live in abundance. When you have a belief system that this is the way God should do it, when God brings a tray and says, arise, kill and eat, you tell God, I have never eaten an unclean animal in my life. And God is saying, it is me that said kill and eat. I've never spoken to a Muslim before. I've never spoken to that person before. They are unrighteous people. They will die. And God say, go and talk to them. Say, if I go there, they will stain me. No, you are the light. God wants to light up the place. As freedom of association, the people listened to the report of those who said we cannot do it. And because of that, if you look at chapter 14, they held an all-night vigil, crying out. And the Pharaoh decided, you know what? Let's go back to Egypt. We cannot do this. We cannot enter to what God has given to us. Let us join the association that we had in the past in bondage. Now we cannot do it because we don't have the power to do it. This is beneath us. This is above us. We cannot get to there. The accent that we have will not work. The color of my skin will not work. I don't have the qualification. There's no need. Thank God for people like this who refuse and say, I'm going to school. Even if I sleep throughout, I still go to school. It's because they had that doggedness. And you will succeed, Rishi, in the name of Jesus. On the day of graduation, we'll put on our satellite dish and our banner. I can't celebrate with you. Even with those kids, we don't care. We'll celebrate with you. Now, the whole concept, church, is this. And I'm begging you by the message of God. If you associate with those who complain and see everything that is wrong in a thing, you will do nothing. Majority said, it's impossible. And the whole congregation said, it's impossible. Left for two people that at the end of 40 years, they still went in. Now, what does this mean? Do you know that associating with those who are complainers, who when they see it first and just say, this thing is hard. All you'll be thinking about is, it is hard. And those who look at it and say, I know with God all things are possible. I will do this thing. You begin to look for solution. Too many of us, unfortunately, because we are spiritual vagabonds, the solution is in front of you. And because you think it's too hard, you don't want to break a sweat. You want it to come to you easy. They say, go and study. You say, the Lord said I should evangelize. You go and evangelize. I say, Lord, let me know. Believe me, prof, such a person will not pass the exam. True or false? You so much fail. Oh, my goodness. I was doing the Lord's work. When did he ask you to go and evangelize when I have an exam? Are you all right? The bottom line, folks, I want you to know that where God is moving you and I to is better than where we're coming from. When you begin to focus on the past, when you begin to focus on a belief system that limits you, not the one that makes you go beyond, you'll be doing the same thing over and over again, and you'll never get a different result. It will always be the same result. You cannot tell me that by his stripes I've been healed, and every other action you take is contrary to what you just said. We're very good at confessing the word of God, but we're not very. We're not good enough at living by the word. God never promised anybody here that when you come to him, everything was going to be kosher, everything was going to be great. What he promised you is that he will never leave you, nor forsake you. He didn't say that you won't fall into fire or fall into water. But what he promised you is like when you get into the fire will not kindle against you, neither shall it burn you. When you get into the water, you will not drown in it. That's what he promised you. He said he will build you his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means hell will come against you, but it's making you understand in the struggle, you will have victory. Church, especially for the younger ones, the younger generation, don't let the older generation that are going nowhere stop you from where you're going. That they did not succeed in their marriage, that they didn't succeed in their education, that they didn't succeed in their vocation doesn't mean that you will not succeed. It's them that didn't succeed. For those of you that believe in generational curses, I have good news for you. Those of us that believe that there's nothing like called generational curses, know that every handwriting of ordinances that was written against me has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, it simply means to me I'm not under any generational curse. For in Christ Jesus, I'm a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. That the people in your family die at 40. That's his name. For me, I start a new movement saying we will possess our possession. Let them die at 40. We'll die at 80. That they come into this place and they are not succeeding. It's too hard. It's them that it's hard for. For me, it's going to be easy. For the Lord will make room for me and I'll be fruitful in this land. Wherever you find yourself, folks, I need you to begin to focus on the whole concept that the challenges that you're about to see or you've seen in that place of promise, you need to fight for it. You need to stand firm and let it go. Let me close with this story, which you're all very familiar with. The only battle that the children of Israel fought was the battle of Amalek. For that battle, Aaron, Moses, and all went to the mountaintop. And they soon discovered that each time Moses' hand was up, the battle was won in the wilderness. Each time his hands came down, the battle was lost. Moses was a great leader. And boy, I sure love that dude. Great leader. When he prayed, God answered. When he did this, everything happened. Meanwhile, Joshua was fighting in the wilderness. Are you with me? After the battle, God said, tell Joshua, see those people that you fought today? I'm going to hammer them out of your existence. 40 years later, a new leader was born. I'm speaking to the next generation, the Joshua generation. When Joshua knelt before the Lord, God said, oh yeah, go and divide the land amongst the people. He said, me. Those people that gave Moses headache, me. God said, you will do it. He said, this book of the law shall not depart off your mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night. I hope the next generation is listening to me. Not what they told you. You go and find out what the word of God is saying to you. Not what prophet Ajan Lekoko or pastor Takuti Jesu said to you. You go and find out what God is saying to you in this moment. While Joshua was there saying, how will I do it? In the days of Moses, he sent them out to go and look. They came back and said, we can't do it. They came to Joshua, said, Joshua, I didn't say you should not pray. Keep praying. You and God, hold it. See these people, if anybody rebels against you, we will kill them ourselves. Don't worry. Do you know the difference? In the next generation, they were ready to fight. Joshua did not go to the mountaintop to lift up his hand. He was in front of the men fighting. The only time he didn't fight, AI, he got into trouble. After that, the guy was always going to battle. The next generation of leaders don't order people around. They do it along with them. The next generation of leaders understand the principle that I'm not going to the mountaintop to lift up hands on your behalf. Why many of you are attracted to ministers, pastors coming to pray for you in this generation? And guess what? For me, I'm not going to pray for you. Ask me why. Ask now. Why? I know most of you will not come. You say, I told you, he's not a good pastor. No, I'm not called to pray for you. I'm called to pray with you. There's a difference. Praying for you is to say, I'm greater than you. Praying with you is saying that where you go, I go with you. Praying with you is in support of you. You have your strength with my own strength. We can do it together. These are not the days of Moses. These are the days of Joshua generation who are going to say, even though I'm weak, can you borrow some of your strength? Let's do it together. Say, yes, let's do it together. This is the time that we abandon old beliefs and embrace the new truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know what? The truth, and the truth will set you free. That you find yourself at the edge of God's promises for you is not a reason for you to run away. I'm talking too long today. Yes, I would. But I want you to understand that you need to break away from that belief. If you believe that your home will never be settled, I guarantee you, it will never settle. If you believe that you will never be good enough, you will never be good enough. If you believe that you will be great, believe me, you'll be greater than your wildest dream. If you believe that others may fail, but I will not fail, believe me, you will not fail. The truth remains the truth. And the truth is that above all things, it is God's desire, my desire, that you prosper, to be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You have the liberty, the freedom to join the association of those who are waiting for something to happen, or you can associate yourself with those who are making things happen. God has called you and I to make things happen. Where you are, you're meant to be the change. Where God has placed you, He has placed you there to make something right, not to join those who are measuring what is wrong in the place. Who you are is more important than what surrounds you. If you allow your belief system to be in the old, that this is only what God wants me to do, you'll never be able to appreciate what is open out there to you. I'm praying that those who are associated with the old beliefs and wandering around in the wilderness, always waiting for manna, waiting for quail and water, there's corn in the land where you will farm and you will prosper. I'm not saying anything is wrong in God providing for you, but God wants you to experience provision. He wants you to walk with your hands and get things going and knowing that God is with you. He wants you to be daring. He wants you to challenge yourself to the highest level and you'll get there. Is anybody willing to change association this morning? Are you willing to realign yourself with the truth as God has created it? Are you willing to associate with those who are saying, let us hear what the Lord is saying to us now? Are you willing to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Are you amongst those who will encourage one another and saying, even though he may slay us right now, but yet we'll still praise the Lord. Let us pray.